This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstheeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're back in studio. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and the soon-to-be famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. How we doing today?
Awesome. Just went through marriage therapy. It was great.
Okay.
You always brag about that so much. I know.
Is that a brag?
Yeah, on your face.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, doing therapy is good.
Do you feel like that brings you guys closer together?
On Zoom, because she's at work, and so we're on the same television set.
Okay, that was my own fault for asking that question.
On your face!
That was my own fault for asking that question. 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the program, by the way, a reminder, Peace-a-thon is a week from today. Peace, as in masterpiece, a-thon, like a marathon, is a week from today.
Show them on YouTube what I brought.
No, I will not. Oh, okay.
Gosh, what did you think?
I thought you were talking about that search that you were doing yesterday for the pizza stuff.
No, look, if you're on YouTube or whatever, this is a limited edition print of 500, and Eric Nadell signed it. Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
And so these aren't all signed, right? He specifically signed it.
You buy them unsigned.
Oh, yeah. And we have the signed one.
I think there was 500 prints of those.
That is correct.
And Eric Nadell signed that one for me and then donating it to Peace-a-thon.
There you go.
No G.
He is, and by the way, Eric is a very charitable fella. He does all kinds of stuff with the Grant Halliburton Foundation and does a lot of work for mental health.
Yeah, he does wonderful stuff, man. This is, I'm excited. Somebody said the punch was weak. All right. I'm really excited about it. It's next Wednesday. We'll start at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we'll roll all the way till 7 p.m., and we'll be here all day for you, and all of our hosts will be coming in at some point throughout the day. Derek Holland will join us for the entirety of the show, just like last year. Is this his third year?
I believe it is.
So we're really excited to have him back, and then Alec will have assistant Peyton on the show during that time. Really looking forward to having an assistant.
Yeah, Alec was always Peyton's boss.
That's
right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it was always told to me. Okay. So I'm excited for him.
Do you guys laugh on the Peyton Manning?
I actually do think that commercial is pretty funny.
I think Peyton Manning is underrated.
The Peyton Manning thing? Yeah. I think it's hilarious.
I don't know if somebody writes that for him and he just acts it out and it's great.
I would assume it's that, but I don't know.
I feel like Nationwide, like his Nationwide commercials and Chicken Parm, You Taste So Good. Like he's for years now been a pretty funny guy. His Saturday Night Live was funny where he's pegging all the kids.
Yep. Hitting them with the football. Yeah.
Yeah. Hitting them with the football.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I feel like because of that character, sometimes maybe he really is a sarcastic A, you know, like maybe that is it, but he plays it very well. I really do enjoy it.
Now we're going to start off with a segment from the mind of Corey, and I just thought it was a great idea. Ordinary world versus Cowboys world. So you can give us a number of examples. I have a whole lot of examples as well. Excellent. But first, I'm going to throw this out there. This is cut number 9. I'm not saying this has to be ordinary world versus Cowboys world, but just remember, the Cowboys are 3-7.
Yes. I'm going to put this out there. We're a damn good football team. I know the scores ain't showing it, and I know obviously people feel like we got so many missing pieces, but I just truly believe, like, you almost got to go through things like the things that we messing up on. Like, I think our defense is really turning things around. Like, up until that last quarter when they got that touchdown defense, we only really gave up those two touchdowns in that first quarter. But other than that, we gave up 6 points in the other two quarters.
All right. So let's focus on that last part first.
It's a little confusing.
We only gave up those two touchdowns in the first quarter, which is really terrible, and then 6 points in the other two quarters. That means they gave up 20 points in three quarters. That would push you at about 26.67 points per game or something like that. That's not great. That is not great. So when he says, that was Micah Parsons, of course, we're really turning the corner, I don't totally know. what that's based on, because by the way, if you're at 26.7, that would put you in the bottom five in the league in points allowed per game. But he started off by saying, we're a damn good football team. What is that based on?
I think he's saying that we have talent and it's not living up. I think he did place the reality of, I think we're better than our scores.
And I get that.
And I think when all your pieces are healthy, you are better than what your scores actually have been. You did look out of sorts early in this season, though. And you're a new defense. That's a reason you could look out of sorts. That offense has not helped the defense at all this season.
Oh, totally.
The offense has been... I asked when Cooper Rush had to initially do it, you said, what do you need? And I said, I need them to be ept. That's it. Just ept offensively. Omar. Not even...
Not Omar Epps.
Just decent, because the defense was that good. Yep. And this year, the offense has not been able to carry the weight of the defense trying to figure out and catch up to what they were doing. So I don't agree that they're a damn good football team right now, because as everybody in that organization has told us, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
And right now, your record says you're not a damn good football team. And you have to do things to get better. It is a false confidence that I appreciate, too, because you're going to go out there and try and be great. But he's got to fill some space on his podcast. I get it. Right now, they are not a damn good football team.
And by the way, the news of the morning potentially for the Cowboys is they designated both Marshawn Nealon and Brandon Cooks for return.
Okay.
Which means their 21-day practice window has been open. So I'm not saying it still could take this long, but it could still be up to 3 weeks until you get anything.
I'm excited for Marshawn Nealon because I saw some things early in the season that I was like, okay, that's something that can grow into a talented player.
I'm with you because I don't care about Brandon Cooks. He's not going to be a Dallas Cowboy in 2025.
That is probably true.
So what? In fact, probably it doesn't matter, but you probably need to play Mingo as many snaps as possible to see if your fourth round pick now is going to pay off that you have 2 years of control of after this year.
That's true. Sorry. Do you see the appeal of Marshawn Nealon, though? Because
yes,
he'll be here.
That is something that can help you determine, I'd love to say free agency with normal organizations, but your draft board.
Yeah.
Because if he ends up showing out the last, let's say, four games of the year, because I don't think he's going to play. I'm just assuming this. Maybe I could be wrong. I'm assuming he's not going to play Sunday and Thursday, but then we'll play the next game.
Yeah.
And then hopefully be healthy the rest of the way. That gives him reps. That gives you an idea of what he could possibly be in 2025, and then gives you an idea when you're building your team, where does he fit in your defensive end rotation?
Now, Corey, if it's okay with you, I kind of want to move later in the show now, Ordinary World versus Cowboys World, because there's a lot there. So I kind of want to scout the Commanders right here. But also, this is the micanization of our listeners. From the 817, don't forget that Omar Epps also invented that pen that helps you when you eat kiwi or get stung by a bee to the face.
The EpiPen?
That is what he is going for.
Yeah.
No. Inaccurate.
That is not true.
Yeah, if you have a peanut allergy or any type of nut allergy, you want to carry an EpiPen.
Alec, can you go ahead and give me cut number 7, please, sir?
Eckler lives in the end zone, but this time they give it to Robinson. And he pushes his way in, and will they give it to him? They do. No forward progress whistle. Touchdown, Washington.
Now, next up for the Dallas Cowboys is the Washington Commanders. By the way, remember, in this hour and in the noon hour, we'll be giving away tickets to Cowboys Giants on Thanksgiving. So be listening in for that. Couple things. The Commanders are, we know how good the Commanders have been this year, probably compared to expectations. But they've been really good to their own history. Think about this. With a win in this game, and the Commanders are heavy favorites.
What?
Shut up. With a win.
Remember I told the Houston guy you want to bet? When he was like, I don't know. I was like, no.
Yeah.
You guys want to cover the spread pretty easily.
So Washington is a 10-point favorite. If they win this game, this will be the first time they've started 3-1 in the division, which is not like a crazy start to the season. Since 2012, it's been 12 years since they started 3-1 in the division. And then think about this. With a win this weekend, they would improve to 5-1 at home. That would be their best home record through 12 games since 1992.
Really?
So the year after they won the Super Bowl, but obviously we're talking about 30 plus years. So it's been more than a decade since they've been this good in division, and almost 30 years since potentially they've been this good at home. So that's, I just wanted to start out by throwing that out there, that if you're wondering how often do the Commanders look like this, the answer is not very. Now, the next part is, I get it. But
that was seriously a ownership change.
Yes.
That completely changed that franchise.
Look, we've talked about it. I don't think Mike has been particularly subtle about the fact that cheering for the Commanders to a certain extent, because it is a real indictment on the Cowboys and a look at how much your franchise can change if you get rid of a toxic owner. And he
definitely was.
Like, yeah, Vince Snyder, my God, absolutely for sure.
Like, he was one of the guys. Agreed. You could say is, look, he's worse than Jerry Jones. Like, you could be as critical as you wanted about Jerry, but Daniel Snyder was a worse owner than Jerry Jones. And if this thing turns around for Washington and they find themselves, let's just say, in the next 8 years in, let's say, two or three NFC championship games and one Super Bowl, I won't even put him as a winning Super Bowl team. You'd go, oh, my gosh, like, this is the answer. The problem is you would never get that answer here. But the answer would be, oh, no, all you do is change the owner from a bad one to a good one. Obviously, you have to draft a franchise-changing quarterback. You have to get a good head coach. There's other things that go with it. But you'd go, oh, my gosh, if Washington ends up being a very good franchise the next decade, it's obvious as day that it was ownership change that changed that organization.
I'm with you. The tough part about that is he didn't really go willingly. For sure. And so that's like a whole different discussion that we will probably have to have. Now, for the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy said, I believe it was yesterday, that he's not going to give up play calling duties. And he said, haven't considered that. Nope, don't like that. That makes sense to me.
What if he had just said, I'm getting fired anyway. Who cares? I mean, might as well just call him.
And that's...
Like, he knows he's done.
I'm Shoddy sure knows you're right.
He's done. They have to do their job, but they know they're done.
And that's the thing that I wonder if Schottenheimer's like, man, I wish you would so I could try to show people what I can do. Because these next 7 weeks feel like an audition for both of them. But at least McCarthy, I'm not saying you should hire him as your head coach, but at least Mike McCarthy can be like, hey, the 3 years before that, we won 36 games and I've previously won a Super Bowl. Like, at least you can point at your resume. For Schottenheimer, it's just going to be like, hey, so this was the last job you had and it didn't go super well this last year. What happened? And I know you can say, well, I didn't get to call the plays, but how's that going to advance you in the process? So I understand why Mike McCarthy's keeping play and calling duties, but I kind of wish that he wasn't so I could get more of a sense for Schottenheimer.
I don't.
Even if it's bad, because you think it's bad?
I think it's the same.
Yeah.
I mean, now, because he's the one that installs it.
Yeah.
And it looks this bad. And if it can't be blocked, he's in charge of that too. Like, that's when he was with the Jets and you had Thomas Jones and Sean Green, that whole bunch that they were doing all that with, they had the talent to block and they ran good. And that was what they were good at. They knew Mark Sanchez wasn't great. So they said, we got to run the ball. And he hasn't been able to replicate that here.
Yeah.
So I don't blame all of that on McCarthy, because that's where that starts.
True.
So.
And it's not like Schottenheimer would show up and we'd be like, hey, we're back. Like, that's not going to happen.
The guy is awesome. And that's the other thing. It always is tough whenever you know that, like, those are good people that you're talking to.
Yeah.
And that you're seeing are probably going to be out.
Now, something to watch for Washington. In this last game, obviously they lost to Philadelphia going back almost a week now. They were only 3 of 12 on third down attempts. So, look, I know sometimes it's a fool's errand, Mike, but when we're putting together, like, Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because, I'm always looking for a deficiency of the other team that's maybe struggled. Now, I know they might be like, hey, the Cowboys will fix that. But I look at those deficiencies that perhaps another team has had, and that was one of the things that popped up to me is Washington had a real trouble converting on third down in this last game. And then you could probably argue this is the most human that Jaden Daniels has looked since the beginning of the rookie season.
I'm actually kind of fascinated that his rib injury has lingered as long as it has. I guess because he's playing through it, it's going to continue to be that way.
Yeah.
And Romo, that year that he dealt with it, it was a whole year thing. It's not like it ever went away. He punctured a lung and all that stuff. So I am interested to see if that ever heals for him and how much that is causing injury for him. But people have seen him now. They know what Kingsbury's doing. And if he's going to continue to be scared to throw downfield like he was in the last game, then he's not going to have the same benefit he has underneath.
I know we're out of time, but just think of this. If the Cowboys were a competitive team and you were fighting for a playoff spot, this week we would be talking about a little bit more. I'm going to bring it up right now. Boy, it's not really fair. You played on Monday night. You travel on the road. And the other team, look, they had a tough road game. They played Thursday night.
But they lost, got a mini bye.
They have more time to prepare while you have one less day to prepare as a normal week. So there's a lot of things working against the Cowboys in this situation, even if the Cowboys were a competitive team.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because even like after that game last Thursday, Austin Eckler was like, now we got some time. Get rested up. Kind of collect your mind and come back in the building. So that is an extra, 4 days that they have to their advantage as well.